Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Sports Geeks Podcast. I'm Alex, here with Pat. It's been a few weeks for us, as far as the podcast goes. We've been away, out of town, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, all that good stuff. So I hope everyone out there in podcast land had a good holiday. But we're back this week with we've got some NFL playoffs and some other big stories we're going to cover. Since NFL games, we're down to only four games this week as opposed to, you know, 16 every other week. We're going to start, for the podcast, we're going to start covering some other stories from other other sports and just all kinds of stuff like that. So just get right into it. First thing we wanted to talk about this week was Mr. Agent Zero, Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah.
Sure you've all heard about his the fiasco going on in Washington with him and the guns in the locker room. Pat, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I always knew he was a strange guy, but this was taking it to another level. And then it wasn't so much the fact that he had guns. I mean, that was bad enough, but just the way he acted afterwards, like he didn't understand why that was a problem.
Yeah.
And then for that next night or two nights later, whenever it was, when he had his teammates line up around him and he kind of shooting the guns, it's, I mean, that was blatantly mocking.
That's a fantastic photo, though.
Yeah, that was funny. Amazing. But, I would assume he's done for the year, so.
Yeah, I just noticed that his Twitter page is gone.
Oh, I wonder if he deleted it.
It's gone, yeah. So I think maybe he finally realized that this is getting serious. And it was time
I wonder if his lawyer finally talked some sense into him.
Yeah, so now they're saying the other guy that was involved, like what was his name?
Crittenden.
Apparently he might have had his own gun there at the time. Like there's all these crazy stories going around. I don't think anyone actually knows like 100% what happened.
Yeah, I heard it started out with the card game on the airplane or whatever, and I've heard a few different things myself, but either way, I haven't heard anything from Crittenden, so he probably
I've heard the guns were loaded, the guns weren't loaded, it was just a joke, or they really got mad, like, it's just...
What a mess. Didn't he see anything that happened with Plaxico Burress and decide that, hey, maybe this is not a good disaster. Idea? Well, and I love his excuse of, I didn't want him in my house because my kids are there.
Kids.
That's a fine point, but it's called a gun safe. Or
you sell them or give
sell the
them.
Guns because, you know, if he's worried about somebody robbing his house, the guns at the arena aren't going to do him any good. So really just, I don't know, an idiot, I guess, to put it simply.
And the other interesting element to this is his contract, which is kind of, you know, kind of a mess in itself. Like, they were going to be real quick to try to get rid of that contract, whatever, $120 million contract or whatever that he really hasn't lived up to at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about they're going to try to void it for his actions or whatever.
Yeah, I think they call it the morality clause in the contract. So
yeah, and I think that's, I don't know, I feel like he's getting a bad, I think that's, it's kind of compiling because of that. And like, I mean, say this happened to some guy that didn't have that big contract, would it be such a big deal? Would they be on him so hard? I feel like he's kind of getting, I don't know, almost persecuted because they're trying to get rid of him for two reasons.
Yeah, railroaded a little bit. Yeah, I would think that would play some into it, and it would be interesting to see their stance if he were, you know, producing like he should be. But...
Or if he had a smaller contract. If it was, it's just that his performance is so small compared to the contract size that, I don't know, I think some of this is kind of unfair and getting overblown a little bit.
Yeah, I think to some extent. I would agree with that. And I think they probably wanted out of that contract for a while, and this just kind of opportunity came back in. Thanks, Gilbert. So we have a reason to get rid of you now.
So it'll be interesting to see how this goes down. The other thing I wanted to bring up was the fact some people are saying he probably might get suspended for the year or for longer. I don't really think he deserves that, considering that the whole Ron Artest deal, he punched a fan during a game, and he didn't even get banned for life. How could you ban a guy for life for an incident that really turned out to be nothing? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I can see
he shot the gun. If the gun got shot, I can understand that. But I think it's all so much hearsay that I don't think you can ban him for life.
I don't think so either. I think this year would be, you know, reasonable, especially because the year is, well, not quite half over, but over 25% done. So I think the rest of this year would be acceptable. But, yeah, like you said, no one was hurt. I mean, was it stupid? Yes. But players have done worse things. I mean, Carmelo Anthony had some, you know, a little more, I don't know how much proof was behind it, but when he first got into the league, there was some more hints at his ties to some violent acts being done in Baltimore and stuff. And he might, I can't remember if he got suspended shortly or not, but there was actually something that came about what he was involved in. Whereas this, it was just a joking threat, real threat. I guess no one will really ever know besides the people who were there, but
yeah. So good luck with that, Gilbert.
Yeah. Have fun.
So
were you following his Twitter feed there?
I was just in the last couple of days, but then I went to it, tried to go to it today and it was gone. So
it was ridiculous. I mean, he was calling out Al Sharpton because I think Al Sharpton made some comments against him, and he was just,
yeah,
writing stories on there. So
he's got some issues.
Yeah.
All right. So another guy that kind of screwed up lately is Mike Leach, head coach, or former head coach rather, of the Texas Tech Raiders. You've all heard it. He kind of locked a kid in a, I guess it was a shed of some sort.
Yeah, he's claiming it was a training room, and I forget what the other one. It was something close to the field that was air-conditioned to get him out of the heat. That's his take, or his slant. So
what happened was he got fired, or he was suspended indefinitely, and then fired just a couple days later. It's just, the whole thing is just kind of weird, and he was apparently supposed to get some sort of bonus, contract bonus on a, I can't remember the exact date on that, but they're wondering, you know, did they ditch him just to avoid the bonus, or, and just, it's kind of a mess. And the turns out the kid was like the dad of, the kid's dad is like a announcer on ESPN. So
yeah, he's somebody at ESPN, and it didn't sound like this when I read it in the article. It said this was coming from allegations by not just the player, but the player and the player's dad. So it sounds like dad had a big role in it. I have heard that there was some controversy before this, that dad was trying to interfere a lot with the team and kind of questions and arguments over his son's playing time and all that. So I don't know how much of that ties into this.
Yeah.
If that's true, that's pretty extreme and, well, just wrong to go through that, you know, length of measure to get a guy fired. And I don't know. I'm not saying that's what I believe, but if that's the case, that's pretty ridiculous. Have you heard any other accounts that are teammates backing one or the other?
No, it seemed like the teammates were backing the coach. Like the kid wasn't even at the game, or he maybe was at the game, but he wasn't dressed or anything. And it seemed like they were behind Leach. Most of the players were. So that's the other thing. I don't know.
Yeah, seems kind of strange, because you would think that if Leach was doing this to a player, he wouldn't be, you know, doing this just to, it wouldn't be isolated. It'd probably happen to a lot of people, and this would give those other players an opportunity to step forward and, you know, corroborate the story or say, this is what happened to me.
Yeah.
But if they're not doing that, it just seems kind of strange. And again, like I said, this kid's dad works for ESPN. There had been kind of rumors about arguments over playing time. So I don't know. It's strange. That's for sure.
Yeah. So that's kind of another disaster. We got a couple, it just seems like these guys are falling out of the sky. These crazy stories. You got Tiger Woods and Gilbert Arenas, Mike Leach. They just keep on coming. So
yeah. Wonder what's next. I mean, we had Dirk Nowitzki this summer, you know, with his
baby mamas, whatever.
Yeah.
The chick that wasn't really pregnant.
Yeah, and was she or was she not a prostitute at one point?
I have no idea.
Well, probably was. We'll just
all right. That,
so.
All right. So the BCS championship game was last night. Kind of wrapped up the whole bowl season. You know, the last couple weeks filled games left and right. Games you've never heard of, PapaJohns.com, whatever.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? You got any big? What did you learn from the bowl season? You got any, you know, season-ending remarks from the college football?
Well, my opinion hasn't changed on what I think about the bowl system. I mean, that nothing that happened this year made me think, oh wow, this is a really good format and we need to keep it. But that being said, there were some good games. I enjoyed watching You know, a lot of games. Being a Big Ten fan myself, I was happy to see the Big Ten on some levels redeem themselves, some big victories. So that was good to see. You know, good games. I feel bad, obviously, for Colt McCoy last night, your last game of your senior season national championship, and to go down. But
that's pretty tragic.
Did you get a chance to watch a lot of games or some?
I don't know. I just wasn't that interested this year. I have no idea why. I mean, I caught a few, but I probably only watched bits and pieces of 10 games, maybe. And there wasn't a lot that was piquing my interest for whatever reason. And I think part of it is that none of the games have any significance beyond that game.
Yep.
And that's why I feel like a playoff will be good, because Ohio State, Oregon, or whatever, it really almost meant nothing. If you're not a fan of those teams or the conference or whatever, that game means nothing to me. But if they can move on to go to a bigger goal, I would be watching I would be sitting in front of the TV 8 hours a day or the whole time just to watch these games.
Oh, yeah, agreed. I mean, I look at NCAA men's basketball. I do everything in my power to get in front of a TV on those that first Thursday, Friday. I mean, if I have to, you know, skip.
Well, now they have, like, the online, so you can just.
CBS Sports Live.
At work, you know.
But I look at all the meaningless basketball games I'll watch, and I actually enjoy watching football more than I do basketball. But I'll look at all the meaningless basketball games I watch, because I guess in a way they're not meaningless, because there's something to play on beyond that. But if you had the equivalent of bowl games in college basketball, would I ever watch Siena versus Xavier? Like, of course not, you know. But
yeah.
I watch because, you know, there's always a story of a Cinderella team kind of breaking through the ranks, and it's exciting. And the bowl system just doesn't provide that.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. So, what do you think would be the best format for a possible playoff? You think 8 teams, 12, 16, 64?
Yeah, let's go. I think, you know, 8, I guess, is the number I've always had in my head, because you got to win 3 games then to win the championship.
Yeah.
So you'll win 3 more games, and I don't think that's asking too much, especially considering college season is shorter than the pros. That gives 3 more games potentially for a team to make more money if they want to keep harping at the money angle. So, you know, you're going to fill seats for 3 more games.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as money goes too, leave those other bowl games intact. That's fine. If the rest of the – you know, the people who don't make the top 8 or whatever want to play the rest of the bowl games and spread those out, that's fine. You know, do it. Then the sponsors can still do it. But I think really putting the top 8 or so in there and duke it out.
Well, and the other thing about money is, if you watch these bowl games, most of them are half empty.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was a game, if there was a playoff game at Ohio State or at LSU, the place would be packed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they could sell seats for 3 times what they normally do, whatever the bowl prices are, and make just as much money. They could throw some sponsor logos on the field, whatever, call it whatever. But, I mean, the money angle is stupid.
Yeah, well, and you know how quick a company would be to throw their name on some of those games?
Even a local company would be, they'd be dying.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you look at some of the sponsors' names or who are getting them now, it makes you wonder, where are the big ones? You know, where's the, you know, the Coca-Cola Bowl or whatever? Maybe, I don't know if they're not interested or what, but you would think some of those real big players might step up to the plate if, you know, it's coming down to a playoff system.
Or sponsor the whole thing, like the Coca-Cola BCS Championship playoff or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. That would be incredible. I would love it.
Now, college sports can have beer sponsors. Is that correct? Is that why?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That's probably why.
I don't know if they ever want to open up that floodgate. But,
if they want the money, they could do it. I'm sure they would.
Yeah, apparently that's the.
Yeah, that has to be a rule, because there's no way they wouldn't be out. Bud Light would not be involved if.
With how much they come. I mean, they're really hurting the game's integrity in my mind for what they are saying is basically. It boils down to money. So I don't know why they would be above advertising alcohol.
And then if some mediocre team wants to have their bowl, they can have the bowl in Boise or whatever that Maryland played at last year. That was stupid. They can still have that, but we get our real champion.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to change next year or anytime soon. When is the contract up for this next round of you know, the BCS or whatever.
Oh, I think it's still pretty a ways out.
Great.
So, the BCS contract goes to 2014. So we're stuck with it until at least then.
ouch.
Yep.
Yeah, that kind of darkens my day.
Yeah,
I'll go over it. At least the superior run league, the NFL, knows how to do it right.
They know how to handle business. All right. Well, the other big story from this week was the Baseball Hall of Fame. The voting was, I guess the voting takes place over a couple weeks or whatever. And then the announcement came today, or I guess 2 days ago, that only a Hall of Famer for this year was Andre Dawson, sorry. With a couple guys, Burt Blylevin, I can't even say that, with 74.2%, which is 0.8% short. And then Roberto Alomar, thought to be a sure first ballot guy, was only 73.7%. So what do you think about the whole system, the way it works, the voting and all that?
Well, I guess this is, again, something in sports I don't quite get and don't really like all that well. Being from Minnesota and a Twins fan, obviously a bit of bias here, but there's a lot of people who agree that Blylevin should have been in a while ago, and he's got the, you know, statistical evidence to really back that up. And I'm not sure why he's not in, if it's kind of that old boys club mentality where the people who vote are kind of, you know, railroading against him, and eventually those people will not have votes anymore because they'll be old and die, and then new people will get them. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think it should be based on your stats and your numbers, and, you know.
Well, the whole thing is stupid. It's all, like, political, and, like, it's all these old writers like you had talked about, and they don't want to, like, sometimes they, like Alomar, they're saying, you know, they just didn't want him to be on the first ballot. Like, it's some sacred thing. I mean, if you're in, you're in, right?
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't tell you people who are. I mean, obviously, I could think of some who are first time people. But I mean, that it's not like they go in a special section of the Hall of Fame.
Like, there shouldn't be a difference year to year. They should just vote on you once, and it should be yes or no.
Yeah,
and that should be it. There shouldn't be like all this. Oh, well, maybe next year we got to see who else gets in first, or if this guy's in, then this guy's in.
It's stupid. I don't know why the sports writers have all this say, like with the MVP and everything. I think the most fair way to do things really is from a statistical standpoint, because, you know, you can't really argue with, I mean, you can change stats and make them look different, but that was like with the MVP race for the American League Baseball. Who was it? Miguel Cabrera got one vote for the Tigers, preventing, you know, Joe Mauer from getting a clean sweep for first place. And it just made no sense. And obviously it was a writer, I want to say a Michigan-based writer, so Detroit Tiger fan. And it's just, it really kind of takes the value of some of those writer voted awards. I just have trouble appreciating them sometimes.
Well, like, and there's never been a guy that's gotten 100% of the vote, which is stupid. All these guys, I'm looking at the list right now. Nolan Ryan, 98.79%. Cal Ripken, 98.53%. Ty Cobb, 98.23%. And that's like, how are those guys not, like, who would not vote for that guy?
Right, exactly. Yeah, how do you argue against
Hank Aaron? Hank Aaron, 97.83%. That's stupid.
It doesn't make any sense. That should just be, you know.
They shouldn't even. It should be 100%.
No, duh. It's as soon as they retire, they're going in. Yeah. So yeah, I think it is a lot of that. Like I said, the old gentleman's club or whatever you want to call it, and it's this group of old school writers who are going to hold grudges against players that. New school players, maybe they don't like, because some of these players, even though they're retired and older, they're new school in some of those people's eyes, and they're going to do what they can, and they get on their little power trip and are going to hold that.
Yeah, and that's the other thing with Alomar. Alomar had the incident where he like spit on an umpire's face or whatever.
Yep.
And they're saying that that's probably what kept Alomar from getting in this year, but then he'll probably get in next year easily, which is, it's dumb.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. I mean, I bet you can go through and look at a lot of Hall of Famers. I know, you know, Babe Ruth didn't quite lead the best life outside of baseball.
Yeah,
and
the whole
thing.
It just bothers me how political it is, and it's just not. It's not about baseball. It's just about, like, you know, what writers you talk to when you were a player, and all these, you know, like you mentioned, the grudges and stuff. It's really irritating.
Yeah, I agree, and I think there's definitely some media bias, East Coast, West Coast involved there.
Oh, yeah.
There's more writers East Coast, and that's...
It's almost like, it reminds me of the Heisman, you know, the East Coast, West Coast kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the regions, you can tell who's voting for who just because of where they are.
Yeah, and I just... Yeah, I don't put a, I don't put a ton of stock into a lot of those. A lot of times I do agree with it. I mean, a lot of times they do get it right. But there's enough of the times where I just kind of sit back and look and like going to NBA, I don't know how Shaquille O'Neal has one MVP award in his whole career when he was, you know, one of the most physically dominant players, you know, ever. And he plays all those years, wins. How many rings does he have? Five?
Four now. I think it's four.
No, he's got more than that.
He's got three with the Lakers and one with the Heat.
Yeah. Is that all he has?
Yeah.
Okay, four. Well, but, I mean, for as good a career as he has, he's only won it once. And it just, a lot of that just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. All right, so that does it for the baseball for this week. Obviously not much going on with the offseason. So let's get into our wheelhouse, the NFL. Big story coming out today was Pete Carroll apparently possibly signing with the Seattle Seahawks to be their coach after they fired Jim Mora just today. So what do you think about the possibility of Pete Carroll giving the NFL another shot?
I don't know. I looked it up before, 33-31 his last time around. And, you know, obviously he's a good coach. He's done well at USC. But NFL's a different monster than college. And
yeah,
he's got the benefit of being in Southern Cal.
The recruiting, yeah.
It's just great. And you're not going to have that in the NFL, and you're definitely not going to have it in Seattle. So,
yeah, and this is my theory that I was I posted on Twitter earlier today. It's just I think he might be trying to get away from the maybe upcoming recruiting violations. You know, there's a thing with Joe McKnight, him having an SUV or something that was paid for by, I'm not exactly sure who it was. I guess what's it called? Booster or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And, so I think just yesterday, Joe McKnight, he's heading to the NFL this year. So maybe Pete Carroll's headed out and, you know, maybe in the way of John Calipari, you know, kind of leaving before the violations hit, trying to kind of minimize the effect on him, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's judging by the response you got from that post on Twitter, a lot of people like that idea and can definitely see that happening. And, you know, hearing that, I could definitely see it. And I guess I don't know if I completely blame him for doing it, you know, but it is kind of a, you know.
I mean, and I'm not sure how much of this stuff is rumors with him in Seattle. Like, it seems like there's something there. But, I mean, he's had plenty of opportunities to leave to go to the NFL in the last decade or whatever since he's been at USC. So the fact that this one seems to be getting a little more buzz makes me think that if he does go, I'll be shocked if something doesn't come out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think – I agree. I think there's something boiling. There's a reason Reggie Bush wanted his court case to be unpublicized or whatever. They had a legal term for that, and that got rejected.
Yeah.
So whatever comes of the settlement is going to be – known to the public. So it does seem like he's running from something. And, you know, too, if you want to go and kind of, you know, rebuild your image, because obviously 33-31 over four seasons is not the best. I don't know if Seattle's the place you want to go to do
that. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying about he's had other opportunities throughout the years. And if he takes the Seattle job compared to, I'm not sure, I think he's had other offers. I'm not sure exactly where, but I mean, there's no way that's the best offer he's had. And that just leads me to believe that he's trying to get away from something or get out while he can.
Yeah.
All right, so this weekend we got four NFL games, two on Saturday, two on Sunday. We'll do our usual, like we've been doing in the past, where we go through, chat a little bit about what we think is with these matchups, and then do our picks. I tallied up the regular season picks last week. It's been a couple weeks since we've been on here. So I'm actually up by two going into the playoffs at 173-83. Pat is 171-85. Last we heard, Pat was one game ahead, but you had a kind of a disastrous week 15.
Yeah.
I don't know if you kept track of that at all, but a lot of people had a bad week 15. I was looking on ESPN. You were 7-9 that week, but
ouch.
Show her some of the ESPN 9. It was a week when there was a lot of upsets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, Green Bay lost to Pittsburgh, Oakland beat Denver,
yep,
Tampa beat Seattle, stuff like that.
So
I actually did okay that week somehow. But
And we don't know what the bet is going to be officially, do we?
No, we haven't really made a wager. But it's still close. You can still
–
God, how many games left we got? 11 games left, I think.
Yeah.
4-4, 2-1, so it's plenty of opportunity to make up.
I can see a tie coming. I don't know why, but I
smell
a tie.
It's been close. It's been close all year, so.
It's pretty impressive, and actually how we kept pace with those quote-unquote.
Oh, yeah, I have that written down, too. Actually, AccuScore is 178-78, which is 5 ahead of me and 7 ahead of you, so AccuScore is legit. So.
Okay, well, there we go.
So first game, 4:30 Saturday, which would be tomorrow for us, is New York Jets at Cincinnati Bengals, a matchup of last week, which that's a whole other story. I wish that wouldn't happen, but
yeah. What is it? Three of the four
three
games this weekend.
Someone had the idea that they should just automatically schedule non-conference games the last week of the season to prevent this, and that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So. Keep that from happening because it seems like it kind of waters everything down. It kind of annoys me.
Yeah, I'm not.
And like
too
last week, last week was kind of a joke. You don't know how much of it to take seriously because they kind of knew going in. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jets at Bengals. What do you think?
I'm gonna take the Bengals. I read a good quote somewhere. I believe it was from the Sports Pickle. You can find him on Twitter at the Sports Pickle. He said something about Cincinnati's. It was something to the effect of, and by losing this game, Cincinnati wins the chance to play the Jets again. So, you know, by losing to Cincinnati or by losing to New York Jets, they get to play the Jets. So kind of a win. I think I'm going to have to go Cincinnati. They played real well to start the year looking back. And, you know, the Sanchez has kind of been in a decline. And I don't see why that would suddenly turn around in the playoffs with the increased pressure. So I'll take Cincinnati at home.
Yeah, I like Cincy too. Home field being a big factor. Just if they can force the game into Sanchez or Mark Sanchez's hands, they're going to win. So the problem for them is trying to stop the running game. They didn't have Cedric Benson last week when they played, so they'll be able to run the ball, kind of control things. So I like the Bengals as well, even though they kind of got shellacked last week.
You see Ocho Cinco getting shut out again? I know he talked a lot of smack about Revis, I think. And
Revis Island.
Yeah, and then he didn't have a catch, so...
Yeah.
I don't see that happening 2 weeks in a row, but...
Mm-hmm, definitely. All right, and then another one. Be the third time these teams play this year, Philadelphia at Dallas.
And this one wanted to kind of go into a little more, too, but I'm going to take Philadelphia here. I haven't been that big a fan of Dallas, really, all year, and... You know, I know there's something about momentum going into the playoffs, and, you know, that's a good thing to have, but it's been 3 weeks. You know, they had 3 wins in a row, I believe, which was good, but it wasn't that long ago that they lost the first two in December, and everybody says, here we go again, and people have been on and off the Romo bandwagon all year, and to think that he's just going to magically fix things in the playoffs, I just don't see it happening, and I think Philly's a little more battle-tested, battle-proven, if you will, so... Are you going to pick opposite me in this one?
I'm going to agree with you. I like the experience well. McNabb, especially, he's been there before, you know, been to all those NFC Championship games. I think they had a 3 or 4 year streak of that going, the one Super Bowl. Romo hasn't really shown me anything in the playoffs, so until I see it from Dallas, I can't do it.
They're getting – I mean, there's a lot of people saying they're the Super Bowl pick in the NFC, if not to win the Super Bowl, and that just shocked me. I could not believe. I don't know what they see that could make them think that. Romo has no experience beyond the first round, and his first round experience, we all know what happened there. So, you know, and I don't get it. If I had money and was more of a gambler, I would have gone out there and bet against them as quickly as I could, you know, because I don't see them making it more than two rounds. Because, I didn't get that. So I'm definitely going Philly, and I guess it's considered an upset, but I don't think it is, really.
Yeah, I think it's pretty even. Should be a good game. All these games are pretty good matchups, so should be some good action this weekend. All right, and then first game Sunday afternoon, we got Baltimore at New England.
Yeah, big game for you, obviously.
My heart's beating already.
Yeah, I'm getting excited. I'm going to go Baltimore. I might think differently if New England was a little healthier, especially after they lost Wes Welker, but that's a hard piece to replace. And I've liked the way Baltimore's played this year, kind of been on the wrong side of a few bad breaks here and there. But, you know, Ray Rice is running the ball well. If they can kind of, not to say keep the ball out of Flacco's hands, but try to, you know, minimize the pressure that's put on him, I think they can go in there and beat the Patriots. I think that mystique that the Patriots used to have, especially at home, is kind of long gone, and Brady's hurting, and obviously Welker's out. So
yeah, actually, I'm gonna pick my Ravens too. Ravens went in there at New England, I think in October, and the only difference was a drop pass by Mark Clayton. Flacco gets a bad rap for like not winning these close games, but like these are not his fault. Like they were driving down, he threw it to Mark Clayton, hit him right between the numbers, fell on the turf, and they lost on fourth down. So, I think Flacco plays better than people think, you know, in these situations. And then obviously the loss of Wes Welker is, you know, pretty big. And then I like our running game, Baltimore. McGahee had a huge game in Oakland. Mm-hmm. I was actually at that game, so it was pretty exciting for me. When he stiff-armed that guy in the face,
he
slapped him. It was incredible. So I like the balance there, and I don't know. I just think if the Ravens' secondary can hold up at least most of the time, I like the chances against the Patriots without Welker, who would tear us up.
Yep, I agree.
All right, and then the last game, another rematch of last week, Green Bay at Arizona.
I'm going to go with the hot hand here. I'm going to take Green Bay. I think they've been far and away more consistent than Arizona has been. And when Arizona's been good, they've been great, but when they've been bad, they've been, you know, horrible. Yeah. And Green Bay has played actually pretty darn good year, and if it wasn't for the Vikings in that conference, they would, they'd be running away with that and might even have a 2 or 1 seed, you know. But I got to go with Green Bay here. I think they're going to walk into Arizona, and they're not going to lose twice, I don't think, to them in a row. So.
Yeah, I like Green Bay too. The Packers have kind of gotten the sacks under control in recent weeks. I can't find the stat. There was a good stat about that, but like he had 40-something in the first 10 weeks, but they've really kind of stop that problem. So if Aaron Rodgers is if he's up, then they're gonna be throwing the ball pretty effectively.
Oh yeah, because I mean, he had pretty good numbers even when he was getting beat up back there. So if you can give him some time, I mean, he's a real good quarterback. So
yeah, and then you never know. Arizona has some injuries, and with Bolden, I think, and some defensive players too. So it'll be hard for them to stop Green Bay's offense. Could be definitely be a high scoring game though, so bet that over.
Definitely. So looking at that, then the matchups would go. I know NFC. Maybe you can help me with AFC. If Philadelphia wins, they play New Orleans, and then the winner of Green Bay Arizona plays the Vikings. But if Dallas wins, then the Vikings play them. And Green Bay, Arizona winner goes to the Saints. So do you know how shakes out in the AFC?
In the AFC, Ravens are the 6th seed, I believe. So they would play – if they win, they play the Colts no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And then if Cincy wins, they would play San Diego.
Okay. So are we going out on a limb right now and doing Super Bowl picks, or are we going to go week by week?
I don't know. What do you want to do? I can't do it. I can't do it while the Ravens are still in. Let's just wait.
Yeah, I think I'm too biased, too, with waiting on Minnesota. And, you know, I do like our chances, but I think I'm too affected. I think let's keep it a week-by-week thing here.
So another thing that we want to talk about briefly when we're discussing the NFL stuff is we didn't get to talk about because we've been away the last couple weeks was the Colts, obviously 14-0, and then they play the first half of week 16, and then they just kind of take out the starters and lose the game and keep the Jets in it, really. So what do you think about that as far as the integrity?
First off, I think that they didn't read your article.
I know, my article.
They would have been going for it.
The Colts should go 16-0 on sportsgeeks.com, so check that out.
Yeah, I think I don't get it. I mean, like, cements their place in history if they do it. And looking at their past, the 1 year they won the Super Bowl actually was a year they even didn't have a first round bye. They had to play all the way through.
Yeah.
So even just look at their own history with Peyton Manning, not even overall NFL history, but it just doesn't seem to jive. I mean, that's not a guarantee resting your players. So I didn't like it. I thought it was, especially the way they did it. I mean, if they'd sit Peyton from the start, but to just get barely that lead and then bench him, that's kind of...
Someone was saying that if they were going to play him for one half, they should play him for the second half.
I heard that too on the radio, I think. So, which interesting thought, but
yeah. So I feel the same way. Obviously, just it was kind of disappointing. I'm not a Colts fan at all, but I would have liked to see, you know, the undefeated team. It's always exciting, and the way they just kind of let it die, it's pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
From if I was a Colts fan, I'd be pissed, and even I'm not a Colts fan, I'm still pissed. So
yeah, I mean. If a team, I kind of would like to see it. You know, that year when I'm not necessarily a Patriots fan, but when they had a chance to go perfect season, I'm like, that'd be cool. I'd like to see that, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously that didn't happen, but they kept it, you know, guns blazing the whole year, and they made it to the Super Bowl. And not saying the Colts won't make it this year, but, you know, we're never going to know if they could have because they didn't try. So
yeah. So another discussion people have been having is, you know, what can we do as far as rules go to stop teams from kind of laying down at the end of the season. You know, the Chargers, I don't believe they played only half that last game. They still actually won because mm-hmm. it was against the Redskins. But, you know, a lot of teams year after year end up sitting their starters for at least half of, you know, one or two games at the end of the season. So I was browsing around on WNST.net, which is a Baltimore sports blog, but this guy named Glenn Clark had a real good idea. So basically what the idea is to keep teams from doing this is that when you're seeding for the draft picks, normally it goes, you know, the Super Bowl winner gets the 32nd pick, and then it goes by mm-hmm. round and then by record down to the last, you know, those 12 teams, and then the other 20 teams that didn't make the playoffs, it just goes by record. So what he's suggesting is that we group the those teams into three sections. The bottom 10 teams, the middle 10 teams, and the top 12 teams, and you see those based on their record in the last six games. So right now, if the season ended today, San Diego would have the 31st pick because of their record, but in this system, because they won their last six games, they kept their starters in all the way through for the most part, they would actually have the 22nd pick. And whereas the Colts, they wouldn't move down at all. So it's kind of an interesting idea to give teams incentive to win all the way through. I think you read that. What did you think?
I read that too. Yeah, I really like that. I think from a fan perspective, and say I'm buying tickets to those last 2 weeks games or go to the last game, I don't want to see whoever the Colts third string quarterback is. You know, I come to see Peyton Manning, I come to see them win. And this won't prevent teams from doing it, but it'll put a little incentive and almost punish teams a bit. You know, there's no way they can force them to play those guys, but this kind of pushes them in that direction. I think it's a good idea, and it also will help it on the opposite end.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
Stop teams from tanking because they build that in. So what is it, the last six games, your performance?
And that's debatable whether you do six games, four games, two games. But with the bottom 10 teams, Cleveland would actually, because Cleveland kind of went on a little roll, showed some signs of hope, so they would get the number one pick under the system, which I have no problem with. You know, if they're trying to win, they deserve it more than teams that, you know, just kind of mail in and, you know, year after year, really, like Oakland. They get the number one mm-hmm. pick like 4 out of 10 years, and they don't do anything with it, so they shouldn't get that pick anymore if they're not going to at least improve somewhat.
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic idea. I mean, the NBA has the lottery system, and your ping pong balls are determined. You get more for a worse record, which is a bit better than the way the NFL does it now. But that was put in place to kind of scare teams that are tanking on purpose that you're not guaranteed that first place. And that's really what this does. And it gives some incentive to fight for it, and that'll make what currently are meaningless games at the end of the year some meaning, because, you know, if you look at that's going to make them look ahead at who's going to come out and be a pro. You know, can you get a Mark Ingram, and do we want him? We need to play so we can get that pick, and they could make those last games a lot more interesting.
Someone else had a funny idea. I don't know where I heard this, but they were suggesting that the last two teams should play the week before the Super Bowl, and the winner would get the first pick, which I just thought was funny.
That is
like, say St. Louis and Detroit, they should play, and the winner we get the first overall pick, which is kind of a fun idea. But yeah, I think they should do something just to keep, you know, teams from mailing it in. You know, they kind of affected the playoff picture this year with the Colts, you know, losing to the Jets, and Cincy not really trying against the Jets. And now the Jets mm-hmm. are in the playoffs, whereas that could have been Houston for their first game, you know, their first time to make the playoffs as a franchise, which I would be livid if I was them. You know, just it kind of affects the integrity of the playoff system.
Yeah, it does, and I think I can't think of too many reasons why that's not a good idea. No. To be honest, yeah, I try to look at it, and I don't see what's wrong with it, really. I mean, it's not like they're adding an extra week or adding, if stats will be affected somewhat, but not like they're adding time on to games. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't see why that something like that couldn't be put in place, and I think it would.
Yeah. So I'll link to this article on the site where the post is for this episode. Check it out; it's a pretty good idea. You got anything else you wanted to mention this week?
No, I think that kind of covers it.
We covered a lot of ground.
Two week absence.
It's pretty long when we covered a lot of ground. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'd love like some feedback. We're kind of switching things up here, doing a little bit different format, trying to cover some more of the bigger stories and all kinds of sports. So let us know what you think.
Think some NBA will be in order maybe next time around. Maybe it'll be close to the midway point here soon. So maybe
All Star break or whatever. And then so hit us up in an email. You can email podcast@thesportsgeeks.com. Or shoot us a reply on Twitter. It's @thesportsgeeks. And we appreciate you guys listening. And we'll see you guys next week.